Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The ESV translation of our gospel this morning contains over 700 words across 31 different verses. It's quite a long passage, and there is a lot packed into it. Jesus foretells the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem when he says, "There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." He foretells the persecution of the Christians when he says, "They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake." And he foretells of the destruction of Jerusalem when he says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out of the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among all nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." And then, seemingly in the same breath, he broadens his prophecies and foretells his second coming. He says, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." All of this in a single passage, a single conversation. And it's overwhelming to us, even though we have the advantage of hindsight. Can you imagine how this must have been received by those who were listening to Jesus as he spoke? How overwhelming it must have been. And then, as if there was any doubt of their fear, he adds to all of this the parable of the fig tree. "Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near." Would you ever doubt that summer is near when you saw a fig tree bloom? The question almost goes unnoticed, lost in the sea of other more invigorating thoughts and passages. He's been talking about the destruction of the temple. He's been talking about the destruction of the city. He's been talking about the persecution of his followers. He's been talking about end times. Do the disciples even need this parable to underscore the certainty of Jesus' predictions? Do we even need this parable to underscore the certainty of Jesus' predictions? It seems almost unimportant, almost an aside. But make no mistake, this seemingly second thought is packed with just as much meaning as all of the other verses, maybe even more. For packed within these three simple sentences is something so profound, something so challenging, that it's worth the focus this morning. So let's listen to them one more time, and then let's dig in. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Now, the first layer is easy. Jesus. Jesus teaches that all of his prophecies are as true as a fig tree pointing to the introduction of summer. How impossible it would be for a fig tree to bloom as winter approaches. Now, we could stay here, but let's not. Let's go a little deeper. The next layer addresses how he could know this future with such confidence. What mere man can foretell the future in such detail? Now, of course, that's a rhetorical question. No man could be certain, this certain, of the future. But Jesus is not just a man. He is God himself. And here we could spend our remaining time as well. Let's go deeper. It's here at this layer that I want to focus. It's here at this layer that I think it provides such a rich context to the rest of the gospel passage, where I think I can support my claim that these three verses are just as crucial, as critical, as noteworthy as the passages that record his predictions. For it's in this layer that we find the crushing weight of our sins, the helplessness of the situation that we find ourselves in, and the destiny that awaits us. But it's also in this layer that we find the release of that crushing weight and the hopefulness of the situation and the true destination that awaits us in Christ. This is the layer where the pressure of the law meets the release of the gospel and where the good news of Jesus wins. For at this layer, Jesus is teaching, in a word, certainty. Certainty of creation's future, but also certainty of man's judgment. The God of the universe is giving us a peek at the cards that he holds. He's letting us know how it will all play out. And unlike any other card game, this one will most certainly follow that which God has foretold. There's no question, none whatsoever, that it'll go any other way. But he's also teaching us that there is another certainty to consider. That is man's judgment. He warns his hearers that they will most certainly stand in front of God and be judged on that final day. And this is where we begin to feel the weight of this certainty. Could I stand before God right now? Or am I weighed down by the anxieties of my life? What about you? Are you ready to be judged? Now, you see, if we stop there, if we don't consider Jesus' role in our answer, then we will be crushed. Because there's no one who alone can stand before God in judgment. Now, we must feel the weight of this reality, even for but the briefest of moments before we continue on with yet another consideration of the certainty that is contained within. That is, of course, Jesus. For we know that with certainty, that in God's infinite mercy and grace, he sent Jesus into the world to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world and to atone for each and every one of them. And there's no question that he accomplished this for us, for we have an empty grave as proof. Our sins are forgiven. The crushing weight has been lifted. And through faith in this work, we can stand before God right now or on that day of judgment and be confident that he will see us through Christ's work and that we will be welcomed into his presence for all eternity. There is yet one final certainty hiding within the analogy of this fig tree. And that's the certainty of how we can apply this to our lives today. While we joyfully await this final day, we still live in this world. And it's in this world where we experience pain and suffering and sin. And so what does Jesus teach us about all of that? He tells us that we can also rely on the certainty of our salvation that he won for us. We can place all of our trust, all of our faith in what he has done. He promises that when we stand before God Almighty, he will view us as perfect because he sees us through Jesus. And we can live a life that reflects this promise, this reality, this certainty. But he does more than just promise. He proves to us that we can have confidence in it. You see, in other areas of Scripture, what does he tell us? He says, as I walk on this earth, I bring forgiveness of sins to man. But you will know when I also heal their physical ailments that my promises are true. And he says, I will be put to death. But when I rise, you will know that my promises are true. I have come to save your life. And when I come back and I bring the fullness of my kingdom, then you will know that my promises are true. And you will see that what I have told you will come to pass. But take comfort for when these things happen. Because you can look back and know that my promises are true. And I have promised to never leave you, never forsake you. I have promised to guide you and protect you. I have promised to send the Holy Spirit to you. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You can daily carry your cross because you know that my promises are true. You see, in every single situation, we can rest in the promise that that situation has meaning. We can rest in the promise that it has an end. We can rest in the promise that Jesus will return and take us home. Look at the fig tree. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and you know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. And when Jesus returns, all will be made right. This promise is most certainly true. Please pray with me. Everlasting Father, we face so many challenges in this world, and sometimes they seem insurmountable. But we know that you are with us, that you are guiding and directing all creation, and that you will one day welcome us back home where we will live with you forever. Continue to strengthen us in faith as we await that day. In your name we pray. Amen.